Therapists are right when they say how you think and act today is greatly dependent on how you were raised. Unfortunately, with busy work schedules and school activities, as much as you have liked to have been around your kids 24 hours a day, it just wasn't possible. Even now, with our adult children and grandchildren, there is no way to monitor everything that they're doing. So if you can get a few hours of quality time, you're one of the lucky few. But do you know who gets most of their time? Their friends and their cell phones. And on those cell phones and around their friends, they are bombarded with financial information that they haven't learned how to process and how to distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. And just like us, it takes time and it takes a while to develop this sense of discernment. It comes from discipline, responsibility, and a willingness to follow the word of God, regardless of what their friends say and what their phones say. No matter how good of a parent you are, unfortunately, there are still some things that come between you and your child, especially when it comes to money. And in this, they are developing their money script that they're going to take either into adulthood or pass on to their own children. And if they just continue to accept these money scripts without questioning, we are going to have another generation that is going to be financially illiterate. So today on this episode, we are going to go over an article by Dr. Art Rayner, The 7 Lies That Teenagers Are Believing Right Now. And we are going to break this down and see what we come up with. All this and more on this episode of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things. Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgeway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things, and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. As a certified private wealth advisor professional with over a decade of experience, one of my main focuses is family. We want to make sure that the wealth that we accumulate for our clients are passed down to the next generation, and those stewards are prepared to inherit their large sum of money. But what we're finding out is that this inheritance can sometimes be misused, and in some cases, abused, because the beneficiaries don't know how to manage their money. They're looking for financial help on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram, and receiving a lot of bad information. So today, we are going to discuss some of the money lies that they have adopted without questioning. Now, one of the first lies is that the Bible doesn't really speak about money. Now, this one is one of the easiest ones to refute. All you have to do is look up the scriptures, because money is actually the second most talked about subject behind the kingdom of God. So in the Bible, it either taught directly or alluded to people exchanging money, how to not covet money, how to pay off debts, how to stay out of debt, all of these wonderful scriptures to help guide you on your path to better stewardship. To some estimations, they said that there are roughly 2,000 verses about money possession and, once again, stewardship. So before you run to Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, or Tony Robbins, A Giant Within, or any financial guru book, make sure that you pick up the Bible and see what it says. Because we are not just talking about dollars and cents. We are talking about the spirituality involved in making money, spending money, and stewarding God's wealth. So if you have an adult child who is struggling with money, give them a Bible. And don't just hand them the Bible. Look up some of those scriptures on finances. Highlight them. Because you can actually Google them. It's very easy. Go to google.com, type in scriptures about finances in the Bible. It is going to give you a laundry list of references that are found in the Bible. This is a good use of technology. The second lie is money will make you happy. Now, I don't think this is just a lie that adult children or teenagers fall into. Everyone can fall into this illusion that money makes you happy. And I think because money historically has been the shortcut to getting what we want. If we're hungry, we take money and we go buy food. If we're cold, we take money and we go buy a coat. It closes that gap of pain and pleasure. But we can't confuse pleasure with happiness, because the temporary pleasure that we may get from the item that we receive are not sustainable. In the article, they talk about when we focus on money, we start to believe that more money will lead to greater happiness. And we all know that there's what they call the law of diminishing returns. What that means is the more that we have of something, the less satisfaction that we actually get from it. Now, imagine you're starving, you're hungry, you haven't eaten in days, and you get one cookie. Oh, it tastes so good. Oh, it smells so good. And it feels so good in your hand. But then you eat cookie number 2, then cookie number 3. And you're like, okay, then cookie number 10. Then it starts to get a little uncomfortable. Cookie number 50, 60, 70, 100. Now your stomach hurts. Cookie 200. Now you're ready to throw up. Cookie 400. And I don't even know if you can get up to 400 without going into a sugar coma. See, money is the same way. At first, when we satisfy our needs, our food, our water, our shelter, of course, that's going to make us happy. Because if we're starving, if we're cold, and we don't have any shelter, we don't know where we're going to live, and of course, we want to survive, right? So getting money to get stability is going to bring you a large spike in happiness. You know, you go from renting to owning your home. You go from unemployed to having secure employment. Instead of working part-time, maybe you're working full-time now, and you feel great. But once you are satisfied, the law of diminishing returns starts to kick in because you have the nicest shoes, you have the clothes. So what are you going to do? Buy two of them? Buy three? Maybe buy four. And now you're a closet full. Now what are you going to do? That's why we see so many people who are single and they're very secure in their careers and their job situation. They either, one, don't want to get married out of fear of losing that stability, or when they get married and have children, it recalibrates that internal spirituality. Now they have something else to fight for. So when they're working for another purpose, and it's very fulfilling to know that someone else depends on you and you are able to provide. So now you see where this starts to come in, right? And unfortunately, we see this in celebrities who make millions and millions of dollars. They start spending money on things trying to find a little bit of happiness. Just recently, we saw the founder of Fandango, a movie review company, jump out of a window of a New York building. Even though he had a $20 million house, he was married for nearly 30 years, he had successful businesses and a career, and he still couldn't find the happiness enough to stay. So we need to stop coveting money and thinking that it's going to bring us happiness. The third lie is that the media and TV and cell phones, they all portray wealth as real monetary wealth. So they show you the cars, they show you the houses, they show you the jewelry, and unfortunately that is not true. Well, think about it. If it was truly wealth, why would they get on the internet and start showing you? If they're so happy in their world, why do they make it a point to show you on the internet? Because there's something that is missing. It's not enough for them. They need attention. They need friendship. They need love. All these things that you cannot buy with money. But what happens is they're trying to use these items to attract people, to get them on their side. And that's what these teenagers love. That's what young adults and even older adults fall for. You know, you're not going around your house like, I have about 6 bars of Irish Spring here. I have about 6 wash rags. Oh yes, these sinks, I have double sinks. You know, one for me and one for my wife. Oh yes, if you go to my refrigerator, I don't just have green grapes. I also have purple grapes. So delicious. We don't do those things, right? Why? Because we are content with what we have. So when you see your neighbor with a new basketball court or a new car, you don't want to go run out and go get one. When you see your neighbor builds a new fence, you don't want to buy a new fence because you are content. And also what they've done, they made you feel like the wealth that you have is not worth posting. So it's like, if you have a car, you don't want to take a picture because you see somebody with a Bugatti. That's not right. If you're proud of your car, take a picture of your car. It's not a competition, but social media makes it that way, and teenagers are falling for this day in and day out, and even adults now. But remember in the back of your head that these things do not bring you happiness, and they are not a true sign of wealth. The true sign of wealth is not the man who could buy anything he wants, but the man that is satisfied with everything that he has. I'm going to say that again. The sign of true wealth is not the man that can buy anything he wants, but the man who's happy with everything he has. Am I telling you not to go buy things? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am telling you is that if you think going to buy things are going to make you happy, you're going to fall in a vicious cycle of buying something, get a little bit of happiness, then falling into depression. Buying some things, getting a little bit happy, then falling into depression. Buy a little something, get a little happy, and then fall into depression. You have to learn to break the cycle. You cannot allow the things that you purchase to bring you happiness. Think about this. What happened to your VCR? The thing that you love so much. What happened to your TV with a big old back? Traded it in for your flat screen, huh? I guess that makes you happier than what you had. You have to think about these things, but it takes time for you to sit down with what you're doing and say, listen, this is outrageous. I can't keep staying on this hamster wheel. Okay? Number 4 is that the decisions that you make now don't really matter. And I don't think this is just specific to money. I think this is life in general, where teenagers think that they have their whole lives ahead of them. You know, they hear these stories of how people make mistakes when they were younger and that they can change their ways when they get a little bit older. But all my adult friends and those of you out there who have lived just a little bit longer than me, I wish you could tell your adult children and grandchildren how fast time actually passes. I mean, I have children now, right? It feels like just yesterday I was the child. Also, the sooner that they start investing, the sooner that they start saving money, the easier it is to actually have money when they get older. The investor that starts in their 20s has a greater probability of success than someone who starts 2 years before retirement, because you're going to make mistakes. It's not easy learning about finances. And as you mature, there are going to be different things that you encounter. When you're in your 20s, you may be renting, and you may have that down to a science. But as you approach your 30s, you may be looking for more stability in a home, starting a family. And that comes with more financial responsibilities and learning about more financial tools and understanding things such as credit scores, interest rates, APR, and APY. And Dr. Rayner actually goes on to number 5, that everything will eventually work itself out. Unfortunately, this type of thinking, nothing will work out except for the chaotic. When we approach life in this whimsical way, we're bound to end up wherever the wind may take us. The joke is, you can't get lost if you have nowhere to go. Unfortunately for this line of thinking, we all have a place we want to get to, which is financial security. And that's why you're listening today. And financial security takes planning. So if you don't have a savings account, that's going to catch up with you in your adult years. Yes, you may be living paycheck to paycheck now. Your income may be increasing and you may be able to buy a few more things, a better car, a bigger house. And your higher earning years are still ahead of you, your 30s, your 40s, and 50s. But as soon as you start approaching retirement and you don't have a savings, what are you going to do? You know, money lie number 6 is that I don't need to know much about money. Financial literacy is almost at an all-time low. I think it's kind of counterproductive. I think the United States tried to keep their citizens illiterate when it came to their financial literacy, so they didn't take advantage of the tax code. But now we have a generation of individuals who are now making the laws that feel entitled based on their expectations of how money works. They don't know how it works, they don't want to fix it, and they're making more problems than they are solving. I mean, just giving money away doesn't work. But financial literacy is one of the best things that we can do for each other. The reason is because it frees up your time and resources so you can actually learn about things you enjoy. Yes, it's great to be an artist, but if you can't pay the bills, you're not going to have a place to do your art. Yes, it's great that you're a great singer, but if you don't have any money, you can't travel state to state to market your gift. What is the point? Money is important even when you sign a big deal. You need to make sure that you understand the dollars and cents. You need to understand your contract so you're not ripped off like TLC, where they're selling millions and millions of copies, going multi-platinum, and yet they're living almost above minimum wage. And money line number 7 is that the little money that I have will not make a difference. Now, once again, everyone's not going to have a huge salary where they're able to give a tithe of 10 to 15% and it equates to $50,000 a year, right? And people feel like the part that they give may not be that much, but it can make an impact. Something is better than nothing. My grandmother used to say, "And is better than Nan." Something is better than nothing. Also, here in the United States, we have to understand that we are richer than 90% of the people in the world, if not 95% of the people here in the world. Do you remember the commercials for just 69 cents a day, you can feed a child? They're not exaggerating. You know, our money, we are extremely wealthy. Even our homeless people are richer than other countries' homeless people. And I'm not saying that out of arrogance. I'm saying that out of humility, where we have to really take a reality check here. Comparison is the thief of joy. You need to be content of what you have and be grateful for what God has given to you. So as we kind of close up here, I want to just take a moment to say thank you for listening, because these are just 7 of the lies that our young adults and our grandchildren are going to hear throughout their lives. They don't want them to be financially literate. Why? You know, they don't want them to be truly successful. Why? They don't want them to be content. Why? Because if you're content, they can't sell you anything. They can't put an advertisement on your YouTube video and make you go click. They can't entice you to shop like a billionaire on Temu, right? They can't do that because you are content. So no matter what they wave in your face, no matter how much jewelry someone has, no matter how many cars or houses someone has, no matter how big someone's business is, no matter how much cash they flash or how many wine mixers they go to, it doesn't matter because you are content. And that is when you are focused on God and you are strong in the word. And that's when you gain your strength. Once again, true wealth is not the man who could buy everything, but who is content with what he has. Now, let me clarify this. Contentment is not the same as complacency. You can be grateful for everything that you have and still push forward. There are some people who are complacent, meaning I'm not going past this point. And these are the people who are not going to survive. So brothers and sisters, the Bible is a great source of information for money. We need to follow the word of God because God thought it was important enough to put it in there. Not only so, he made it the second most talked about subject in there. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. What I want to do, I want to give a big shout out to all my subscribers out there as we approach episode number 300. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are up to episode number 300 and it's all because of views. So if you're subscribed, I want to say thank you, 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 thank you. If you're not subscribed, hopefully after this episode, I have earned your subscription. Just click the subscribe button on whatever player that you're listening to. Also, before I go, if you need financial help, make sure that you go to www.abrwealthmanagement.com. We're a Christian financial firm. We help you build your financial plan with God in mind. You can go to our website. It will be in the description below. Well, that is it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.